Hello, I'm Richard Suchet, and this is the LBC Daily Debrief, the podcast that brings you the full story on the day's biggest news. And we start off here.
Every day, 4 to 5 people die because of a wrong prescription, wrong dispensing, wrong monitoring of drugs.
That's the Health Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, on the news that medicine errors in the NHS could be causing 22,000 deaths a year. We'll have more from the Royal College of GPs on that one. And
straws are not just another example of plastic waste. They can be lethal. I believe we need to act, and I'm exploring now what we can do as quickly as possible within the law.
The Environment Secretary, Michael Gove, says the government could be about to ban plastic straws. I've been living a strawless life for a while now because I'm anti them. But how hard is it to live a life free of single-use plastics altogether? We'll speak to the woman who's given it up to find out. Now, 237 million errors are made every year dispensing medicines in the NHS. A study shows that the equivalent of one mistake is made for every 5 drugs handed out. The errors made by GPs, pharmacists, hospitals and care homes could be a factor in more than 22,000 deaths every year. Jeremy Hunt's argued that the NHS error rate was no worse than in the US or other EU countries and defended the health service's ambition to tackle the problem. But he also announced that the government would be decriminalising dispensing mistakes. Well, let's get more on this now from the vice chair of the Royal College of GPs, Mike Holmes. Thanks for joining us here on the LBC Daily Debrief, Mike. Is this GP laziness, lack of knowledge, too much pressure?
The first thing to say is that we welcome anything that improves patient safety. I don't think this is anything to do with GP laziness. We spend an enormous amount of time training and learning how to prescribe safely. And we also take any errors or incidents that occur incredibly serious. One of the important things, I think, as Mr. Hunt has alluded to, is that where errors or situations are identified, is that we do whatever we can to learn from those errors so that they don't happen again.
But 22,000 deaths a year. I mean, that's absolutely astonishing, isn't it?
What we must do is just clarify what we're saying there. What it's saying is that it could contribute to up to 22,000 deaths a year. But you're right. However we interpret the numbers, it's a lot. And what we need to do is to do whatever we can to try and reduce that number so that we're prescribing more safely and the service that our patients get is as good as it can be.
On the surface of it, when people look at those numbers or hear those numbers, they might be surprised to hear in the next sentence that the government is then going to decriminalise dispensing mistakes. Do you agree that that's something the government should be doing?
What we need to do here is to learn from mistakes to make sure that we make the service as safe as we can. We're already doing a lot of things to try and improve safety. We use computer systems that flag up potential drug interactions. As I said already, we have learning events that analyse every error that's made so that it doesn't happen again. And now we're starting to work with other professionals in multi-professional teams within our practices, such as pharmacists, to try and make sure that we're prescribing as safely as we can. But the reality is that doctors are human and patients are human and patients are all different. So it just adds another layer of complexity to an already very difficult situation.
Your colleague, Professor Helen Stokes-Lampard, has said today that intense pressures on the front line are also contributing to this problem. So when you hear Jeremy Hunt saying that this is something that is a big problem, how much do you feel that there is an element of hypocrisy about that?
The GP services, it's no secret, are under an enormous amount of pressure. We know that workload in general practice has gone up by about 16% over the last 7 years. We know that recruiting GPs into the system is becoming increasingly challenging. And we know that we see an enormous amount of patients. We're seeing 1 million patients a day across the UK. So there are things that definitely needs to be done in order to give us the opportunity to make our consultations with patients as safe as possible. We'd like to have longer consultations. We've got the time to focus on every aspect of patient safety. And in order to do that, we need more funding that the government has promised. They've promised £2.4 billion a year additional funding into general practice. And they've promised us more doctors and more other members of the clinical team, 5,000 doctors and 5,000 members of the wider clinical team. And if we're going to make the huge improvements that Mr. Hunt's talking about with regard to prescribing, we really need them to fulfil those promises with regards to extra resources.
All right, Mike Holmes, thanks very much for joining us here on the LBC Daily Debrief. That's the Vice Chair of the Royal College of GPs, Mike Holmes. And finally, the government has confirmed it's considering a ban on plastic drinking straws in Britain. It's estimated we get through 8.5 billion, that's right, 8.5 billion of them every year in the UK. The Environment Secretary, Michael Gove, says the government's doing everything it can to restrict their use to stop them polluting the oceans. Now, as you may know, I'm doing my best to cut down on the amount of plastics I use. I've even banned my kids from plastic straws in my house and when we go to restaurants. Cruel father, you might think, but guess what? My kids actually couldn't care less. But what would it be like to go without any plastic at all? Well, let's find out. I'm joined now by Cloudy Williams. Her family gave up plastic in 2016. She's now a blogger at pfree.co.uk, which advises people on how to give up plastic. Cloudy, what made you decide to give up plastic?
Hi. Yeah, I think it was sort of a long time coming because we were watching the recycling waste growing and growing over the years, and we just came to a point where we thought it's too much and we want to do something about it. But also, we went on holiday in Mallorca about 3 years ago and went to one of those wonderful pristine beaches and found ourselves swimming in some sort of weird plastic soup with strange plastic things sort of suspended under the water surface. It was very eerie. And I think that was my first sort of proper wake-up call, and I decided to have a look what's happening. And, you know, shortly after that, we thought, let's just try a whole year without buying any plastic and see whether it's possible.
Well, as I said, I'm trying to cut down on the use of plastic in my house, and it is a deeply frustrating thing to try to do because there is just plastic in everything, everywhere. I want to order some food online, you know, order shopping online. It gets delivered in plastic bags. It's wrapped in plastic. The tomatoes come in plastic. The biscuits come in plastic. The cereals are in a cardboard box in plastic. Everything's in plastic. So how do you do it?
Well, I think the first thing is that you have to sort of try and wean yourself off convenience shopping and supermarket shopping because that's where all of that is happening. And what we found, that we found that in the beginning it was very difficult because we tried to do it, you know, in the same way that we had been shopping. But we soon found out that there are great alternatives all around us that we hadn't even noticed, you know. And I think one of the first things we did was to stop going to supermarkets and seek out markets, farm shops, health food shops, you know, even just directly to the local makers. And, you know, once you start looking, you start new habits of shopping, and that's when it starts becoming easier.
But Cloudy, you know, a lot of people have very tight budgets these days. There's not a lot of spare disposable income to go around. And when you do want to shop in farm shops to do your weekly grocery shopping, it's just going to be far more expensive to do it that way, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I mean, we haven't done a sort of a penny by penny study of it. But I think what happens is that when, like the way we did it, which is like no plastic, just for a year to try it, and we've carried on and we're pretty much single-use plastic free even now, almost 2 years later. But what we find is that, you know, you're not buying any kind of processed ready meals, processed food, all of that kind of reduces and you're going much more back down to basics, you know, you're making food from scratch. You have to sort of plan ahead, you know, you make your own lunches, you suddenly start eating more seasonal, more local food, and we don't find it very much more expensive, or maybe even not more expensive at all. It could even be a slightly cheaper for us. But people often say to us, well, you know, we're busy, we're working, we haven't got the time. And, you know, that is probably true. And maybe for some people it's not possible at the moment.
Yeah, you're swimming against the current, aren't you? Because actually we know that convenience shopping and convenience supermarkets and convenience stores, that is a massive growth area. People are not planning ahead. People are planning ahead less than they ever have been. So actually to do what you're doing seems like, I mean, to persuade people to do what you're doing seems impossible.
I know, but then, you know, at the same time, I'm thinking we're all sort of wanting our lives to be less crazy, you know, mindfulness is on the rise, people are getting stressed. And I think partly that is because we're racing along with all this kind of wanting everything, you know, available all the time, racing to the shops for tonight's dinner and all that sort of thing. For me, it's like going back to basics, simplifying and making my life simpler by, for example, you know, I seek out all the refill shops where I get my shampoo in bottles refilled, my laundry liquids, you know, all sorts of stuff like that. And the same with dried foods. You know, you get all these zero waste shops, bulk food shops, and I only need to go once a month to get those things. I don't find myself going to shops all the time. So if you see what I mean, it just sort of simplifies life a little bit and you give more time to maybe cooking, being with family, planning a little bit ahead.
Look, some people you're never going to convince about this issue. They don't really care about the environment. But as I say, I'm someone who cares. But, you know, I'm pretty busy. I don't get home from work until very late at night. What are your tips for someone like me who wants to make a difference with my use of plastic, but struggles with time and all the rest of it? What are the main tips you give me?
Well, I think, you know, if you are living in a city and you've got that busy lifestyle, you know, make your choices such that you can be more plastic free. So you could, for instance, support takeaway places that are plastic free. You know, you can take your own water bottle everywhere. You know, all over London there, you know, you can refill water even at stations. They've got fountains now and things like that. You know, make an effort and take your own packed lunch, you know, and just, you know, think ahead and make the effort. If you're someone who cares about it, you know, you can make those choices. And it's always difficult at the beginning until you've found the places and then it becomes easy. You know, you know where you're going to get your lunch.
You get into a rhythm, I suppose.
Exactly. You get in a rhythm and you know that the shops that want the same as you, they support it in the same way as you do. And those are the shops that you go to.
Yeah, I agree with you. You're right, I should take those tips on board. And I suppose the important thing here is that if everybody did something, they don't have to go completely plastic-free, but if everybody did something, it would make a huge difference. That's Cloudy Williams there, blogger at pfree.co.uk. That's where you go if you want more advice on giving up plastic. Thanks very much for joining us here on the LBC Daily Debrief, Cloudy. And with that, we are done for the week. I'm Richard Suchet, and I'm proverbially tied up on Monday, but my able colleague Simon Conway will be here to give you the full story on the day's biggest news. In the meantime, why not spend your weekend relaxing, decompressing, and repeatedly hitting subscribe and leaving us lots of generous reviews to skew the figures in our favour. I have absolutely no problem with that at all. Now, of course, the news doesn't stop with this podcast. Make sure you listen to LBC on digital radio, FM in London, or online at lbc.co.uk. Simon will be here on Monday, and I will see you on Tuesday. Have a good weekend.